Welcome to Season 4 of Whiteboard.fm. Today we're going to interview Thalitha Gadeni, Principal Product Designer at Adidas Runtastic. Thalitha has been at Runtastic for more than 4 years, and she's extremely experienced in designing digital experiences that deal with fitness and large data. The best part about Thalitha is that she not just spends time on learning design, but she balances her life out by exploring these wonderful domains like doodling, lettering, cooking, traveling, and so much more. And that is something that I truly respect. So without wasting any further time, let's get started. This is your host, Ansh Mehra, and you are tuning in to Season 4 of Whiteboard.fm. Welcome to Whiteboard, Thalitha. I'm so happy to actually host you. We've been reading about you, we've been seeing your work, and it's an honor to interview you today.
Thank you very much, Ansh. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So, Thalitha, the Adidas running app is one of the most popular fitness apps in the whole world. Your designs directly influence the health of millions of users. How do you handle the pressure of delivering the right experiences?
Yeah, that's a very good question and very interesting, because I'm thinking of this concept of the right experience, right? Like, what is the right experience? Probably your answer is different to mine. And even if you would ask me this like a year ago, my answer would be different than what it would be right now. So the reason that I'm saying that is that there are so many different people out there, and they have different goals, different needs, different expectations, different contexts and things that affect all of these things for them. And as a designer, I feel like our role is to make very conscious decisions about what experiences we are creating, for whom we are creating them, and how we are creating them. And this needs to be informed decisions. So I think that that's one of the points about how to handle the pressure and how to feel confident with your work. I think it's about having a design practice that is mature, that is based on user research, that is based on data, that has different stakeholders at the table to also contribute to this discussion. So having a team that is diverse and where you have experts for certain topics. In our case, for example, that includes not only product, engineering, marketing, but also the sports scientists. And I feel like that's really important for us in order to make the best decisions that we can. And the thing is, there is some pressure, that is true, because design is a craft that comes with a lot of responsibility. I guess it's that old thing of like, with great power comes great responsibility as well. And I guess that's especially true in this health and fitness area, because the decisions that we're making, they are affecting the health of a lot of people out there. So people can get injured, or they can make bad decisions about how they train. And that's something that we need to be very conscious and careful about. And yeah, I also think that this is a responsibility that is not only for the designers, it's for the entire team. And that's something that I believe also makes me more confident when making these decisions, is knowing that I have a lot of people out there that can support me in making the best possible decisions and experiences. And also knowing that they are responsible, that they are very self-aware. Because when you are creating this product, you need to be asking questions of like, am I proud of this thing that I'm doing? Do I believe that this is going to have a positive impact? Are there maybe some unintended consequences that I need to be careful about? And those are important questions that you need to ask yourself, so that you can then in the end create the best possible experience. And knowing that this is a teamwork, like I mentioned before, I believe that having a diverse team is super important for that. And I think another part of that is also the environment. So for example, in my company, I feel like there's a lot of room for experimentation. And we know that a lot of the things that we're going to be doing, they're not necessarily going to work, or they're not going to be well received by people. And that's normal. That's totally fine. So I think it's important to have this safe environment where you feel like you can make mistakes sometimes, or where you can make the wrong decision or the wrong implementation, but that you have the space to then learn from that, iterate, and make it better. Because that's also the important part. Resignifying a little bit this concept of the right experience, understanding that it depends a lot on what you as a company is trying to achieve and what you as a designer wants to do. and focusing more on the outcome and on the impact that this is going to have on people. Then the second part about making informed decisions, so making sure that this is based on data, this is based on research, that you have the right experts joining the discussions. And the part about the team, knowing that you're making this together as a team and that this is a safe environment where you can experiment different things, seeing how it works. So I guess a combination of all of those things make me feel more confident and kind of not mind so much the pressure, because the pressure is there. But it makes me handle this a little bit better.
Awesome. Now, you have a wide range of interests, and I'm personally really inspired by people who keep exploring new things. But how do you manage your time between learning new things, your full-time job, and personal responsibilities? How do you do it?
It's hard to find a balance, right? It's like that meme where you have a triangle and it has three things, like work, relationships, or hobbies, and you can only pick two. And I feel like it's a little bit of that about the trade-offs. But yeah, like it's in my personality to want to learn new things and have different experiences. And that's also why I like design so much. I feel like I never had that one true calling, you know, like those people who say, oh, since I'm a kid, I want to be a doctor or something. That was never really a thing for me. I always had multiple interests, and I like UX design because of that. Like, I can combine multiple different things. I can work with data. I can work with research. I can work on visuals. I can do some project management, and that's all very interesting to me. I feel like every day is different a little bit. And even though I love design, it's not the only thing that I love. There are other things in my life that I want to focus on, that I want to do. So yeah, I think that it's important to find this balance. And that's something that I also learned a lot when I moved from Brazil to Austria, because at least in my reality in Brazil, in my little bubble, I feel like people were super workaholics and there was no such thing as work-life balance at all. But when I moved here to Austria, I found that people have a very different culture, at least at my company. This balance is there a lot more. People value also having hobbies and doing things just because you want to do. And they see work more as a means to that than an end in itself. And that to me was really important. It changed also my perspective. And it was great to have this example also coming from leaders, because it allowed me to set my own boundaries somehow. So for example, seeing that my leads, they were also like leaving work at a certain time and not staying there late, that they also had their interests and passions and things that they were doing outside of work, that also inspired me a lot. Because I feel like there is this pressure from society that you need to be very productive all of the time and that you need to excel at everything and be the best. Honestly, that's not super realistic in a lot of places and for a lot of people, because we need to acknowledge also that like the working conditions in a lot of companies, they were not really created to ensure this work-life balance or to ensure the well-being of the employees. That's the sad reality of things. So I think that we as employees and as people, we need to acknowledge that and understand that it's fine that you cannot have everything. But for me, the way that I handle that, it's about understanding what works for me, what are my priorities, what are my boundaries. And that's something that it's dynamic also. I feel like it's something that I'm constantly reevaluating, like how do I want to be using my time and what is working for me, what is not working for me. So I was thinking of a training that I did a while back for my company, a resilience training. And we did some interesting exercises in there. And one of them was this very interesting thing where we had to create a pie chart and put how we were using the 24 hours of our days, like how were we splitting our time. So you would put like, yeah, okay, 8 hours I'm at work, 1 hour I'm commuting, 1 hour I'm doing sports, 1 hour I'm doing something else. And that was very interesting to me to analyze how I was spending my time. And then reflecting like what are the things that I'm doing that are giving me energy? And what are the things that I'm doing that is taking away my energy? And reflecting on how would my ideal chart look like? So I felt like that was a very good exercise to see, like, am I using my time in the best possible way? And in the best possible way, I don't mean like in the most productive way, because I feel like that's also what a lot of people do, like try to fit a lot of things into the 24 hours. Maybe that works for some people. That's not what works for me. But I think that that's what it was something good because it allowed me to check like my priorities. What are the things that I really care about? And once you understand that, I think it's about creating the right circumstances for you to thrive. So again, this is different from person to person, but for me, it's a lot about having a schedule and creating habits. So something that I don't have to think about anymore. So for example, that's how I handle sports. If I take a break, it's usually very hard to come back then because I lose this habit. But if I know that every day I'm going to wake up and do 30 minutes exercise, then it's just automatic and it works really well for me. And that's how I make sure that I find the time. I put it in my calendar. I also set some goals and deadlines for myself, but I also don't make this something very strict. I do it because it motivates me, but I try to be very easy on myself. So also as an example, like this last year was really hard for me, as I guess it was for a lot of people, a mix of things like with the pandemic, of course, and a work that is very demanding, some personal things. And in this last year, I wasn't able to pursue a lot of my interests and hobbies in the way that I usually do. And that is fine. Like, I'm totally fine with that. I try not to put too much pressure on myself because I do have multiple interests and things that I like to do and that I want to learn or that I want to experience. But I want to do these things because they are good for me and not because I have to do them or because I want to put them in my CV or whatever. So I try to also be kind of easy on myself. So I guess that's kind of it, like knowing yourself, setting your priorities, your boundaries, creating the right circumstances, and also taking it easy sometimes.
That's really interesting. This is the first time I'm hearing about this resilience training thing. This sounds wonderful.
Yeah, it was really great. It came at a wonderful time also for me. It helped me to, yeah, reevaluate my priorities, to know how to handle stress in different ways. And that applies both for work and also outside of work. Because that's one of the things that I also appreciate here in Austria. They really understand that you are a person, right? Like, you're an individual and you cannot really separate your work from your personal life. Those things, they are going to influence each other. So if you have something going on in your personal life that is going to affect your work, like, you can try your best to let this not influence it in a negative way, but there is an impact. And that is fine. Like, life is not always like this constant thing where you're always splitting your time in the same way. That's also why I said this is a dynamic exercise, something that you need to reevaluate constantly. So yeah, that's about it.
So my next question is slightly technical or design centric, because I saw that you are designing an app that deals with a lot of numbers, a lot of dense data, information. How do you design experiences that deal with so much numerical data?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that for our product, which is based on GPS tracking and activity, there's so much data that we can collect. But the first question that I think we need to ask ourselves is, like, what is the data that we need to collect? Because there are also some ethical implications to that. So it's not just because you can that you should. That reminds me of Jurassic Park when there's this question from the scientist, like, just because you can't do it, it doesn't mean that you should. And it's the same for the data that we collect, I think. So we need to collect it with a purpose. Of course, there are some times that you are not totally sure how you can use the data, and then you collect it anyway because maybe there's an application in the future. But this needs to be done in a very conscious way, also in terms of privacy of users. But in terms of how we use that information and display it to people, I guess it's like we handle anything else in the design process. It starts with understanding people and what they want to achieve, what are the jobs that they're trying to get done, and then making sure that we're designing for that. Because it's not just about displaying the data, right? That would be easy. We can just show everything that we collect, but that doesn't mean that it's going to be useful to people. So it's important to understand, what do they actually want from this? Why are they looking at this? How are they making decisions based on this? And then trying to understand what is the most simple way that we can display that and how we can make it very actionable also. And the key point is really about understanding how this is going to be used, because our product is very consumer facing is something that people are doing because they want to achieve fitness goals. So it's not like we are designing an enterprise solution where we need to display a lot of data and make something that has complex use cases and we cannot get away from it. In this case, it's also very based on the target audience that we have. So we've tried to figure out what is the best thing for that particular audience. So you can think of different perspectives, like, is this a beginner user? Is this an advanced user? Is this someone who has exercised for years now or who just got started with exercising? Are they using this information in order to plan their next activity? Are they using this because they want to train for a particular event or something like that? So if you understand all of these particularities, then you can make sure that you are designing the best possible experience that is simple, that is useful, that is usable. And that's the basics of it, I guess.
Awesome. So India is seeing this boom of UX design. For a very long time, a lot of students were unaware of this field, but a lot of new students are coming into this field and they're trying to learn this online. What would be three free yet extremely powerful design resources for someone who's just entering design and eventually wants to work at a company like Adidas or Fantastic?
Yeah, I mean, I hope that happens also, that we have some people from India joining our company and joining the design team. That would be really awesome. And I can share a bit of the resources that I used also in the beginning of my career. Maybe that's useful to some people out there. I think it's really important to start with the basics and to get the foundations right. And that starts with the theory, I think. I know that sometimes it's boring for a lot of people, but I do think it's very important. And you don't have to come necessarily from a university in order to get a design role. But you do need to have this training somehow. Doesn't matter how you get it. And for me, how I did that was with massive open online courses, things like Coursera or EDX or IDEO, things like that. They have so many courses available, some really great ones. I did the interaction design specialization in Coursera, and that was really great. Most of the courses are for free, which I really appreciate. And then you just pay this fee if you want to get the certificate. And if you don't have the means to get also the certificate, then you can apply for financial aid. So that's something that I recommend a lot because it's great. You get access to this education that you would get in the best universities in the world for free. It's super easy. You get to collaborate with different people. I think it's amazing, and that's a great place to start. And usually those courses, they are a bit generic, so you will not get super in-depth education in a lot of topics, but they do provide this overview of what UX design is. And from there, you can start to dig deeper into certain areas and to look for courses that are a bit more specific or for other resources that are a bit more specific. So that's one place that I would recommend that people start. But of course, that is not enough because the theory is very different from what you experience when you put things to practice. So my second recommendation would be to do exactly that, put things to practice. And for that, I think that I don't even have a resource for it because it can be anything. You can create your own project with your friends, for example. That's something that I did as well. And it's great for a few different reasons. First, you can choose what you want to do. You can work on something that you're very passionate about. Second, you can collaborate with different people. And that's amazing because that's how you get the experience. You also get some motivation. You have some accountability. Because I often see or I hear from some younger designers that reach out to me like, yeah, I started this project, but now I'm not totally sure what to do. And that's normal. But if you're working with other people, then you can have this exchange and you also have this extra motivation. You set some deadlines for yourself. So I think that's really good. And something that I did in particular when I was at university was to join this extracurricular activities that you can usually have at a university. So different groups, like I was part of this entrepreneurship group. I was part also of some volunteering projects. And volunteering is something that I really recommend as well, because I feel like that's an opportunity for you to give back to the community and at the same time do something that is good for yourself. again, so that you get this experience and also so that you can build a portfolio, because that's also really hard. I see that people are trying to apply for jobs and they don't have the experience and the competition is crazy in a lot of cases, and you need to show something. And people are like, okay, but what do I show if I don't have any actual professional experience? So volunteering work is really useful for that. And also having your own project. So I guess it's really up to you. And the last thing, which I think is useful for everyone, not just people who are getting started with design, is to have an exchange with different professionals. So that would be mentoring. There are different names for how you would call this, but yeah, as a general term, mentoring. I've done this myself, both as a mentee and as a mentor. There are multiple things out there that you can try out. So for example, there are a lot of local communities with the Interaction Design Association. There's ADP List. There are many different things. You can just reach out to people also directly on LinkedIn. That's something that I've done in the past, that I just read a Medium article, was super interested about it, decided to reach out to that designer. And I feel like the design community is generally very open and very empathetic as well, and wants to give back to the community. And the reason why I think this is important, this mentoring experience, is because you get a little bit outside of your bubble. And you can get different perspectives. You can see how different companies are operating. You can get direct advice for specific problems that you're having. You can connect with different people, build your network. This is super important also later on in your career when you're looking for different job opportunities and things like that. So yeah, I think that those would be the resources that I would indicate to someone who's getting started in design.
That was really valuable. You're one of the few people who have actually shared quite a lot of stuff, and I'm pretty sure this is going to be helpful for a lot of people, especially ADP List. So, I mean, if people want to reach out or if people want to connect with you, how should they do that?
Well, there are multiple ways. First of all, I think LinkedIn is great, so feel free to reach out. I'm not a very active person there in terms of commenting, posting, but I am there checking the content. I'm more of a passive consumer of content, and I'm always available. Like, if you just send me a message, I'd be happy to reply or to set up a chat. And then I'm also part of ADP List, so you can find my profile there and schedule a session directly with me as well.
Awesome. Thank you so, so much, Thalita. It was so nice to talk to you. You've been so sweet, you know, arranging this. You've been very kind from the start. And I'm super, super sure that a lot of people will learn a lot from this episode. And yeah, I just hope you had fun as well.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you for having me. It's been amazing. It's also my first time joining a podcast, so super excited about it. And yeah, it's great to also have the opportunity to talk about design and perhaps inspire some people out there. That's really amazing. And it's great to see people getting into design. I think it's an area that is growing more and more. And I'm happy to see a lot of qualified designers out there. So yeah, thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much, Thalita. Take care. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
You just finished listening to an episode from whiteboard.fm. Don't forget to follow our podcast, because we are coming up with many more interviews that will help you accelerate your growth as an upcoming product designer. Check out our website, whiteboard.fm, to learn from our videos based on case studies and hiring processes at some of the most amazing companies in the world. This is your host, Ansh Mehra, signing out.